Can we welcome Benjamin Williams right now?
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be here with you. And one of my distinct memories when I first met us, tell Pastor John this yesterday, was we had a student named Landon. Landon's friend, like, yeah. And so we had somebody come over and was just visiting with him, and his name was John. And you know, I talk to lots of people on the phone, so I don't have all of the memories of every single person I have a conversation with. But there was this guy out in the hallway, went and chatted with him for a few seconds, and he said, "Oh, yeah, I'm Landon's uncle." And I was like, "Oh, well, it's great to meet you. We like that guy," and all that. And I was chatting a little bit. And then later, I went and found Landon. I said, "Landon, I met your uncle. He's a really nice guy." And he said, "You did?"
You met.
And so Landon goes, "Oh, yeah. He's not like uncle by blood, but it's kind of like the mafia where, you know, guys like related to each other and, you know, I know somebody." So, you know, he was helping to prepare me for the people I was coming to today. It's so good. Welcome to the family. Yeah, we're family. We're family here. You know? We're family.
So what are you saying?
What are you saying? And it's good to be here. And it's fun. When I was actually, when I was praying for Pastors John and Marianne, I felt like God said something to me, and it was, this is what he said over you guys. He said, "You're something else." he said, "Tell them there's something else." And this I don't know everybody's background here, so forgive me for jumping in for a second. But the Bible tells us that God, the Bible, if you're familiar with the Bible, is filled with people hearing from God. That God still talks. And we believe that the God who wrote the Bible still talks to people. So when I was talking to God about these two, he said, "Tell them there's something else." And here's the thing. If something else is that it's some people that are special, people that are set apart, people that have a quality about them. And not only that, but that there is a gift on your life. Where I saw, when the Lord said that, I saw a picture of somebody sitting at the table and they had a cheap bottle of wine in front of them. And then you walked over as a waiter and had a white, the napkin over your server on your arm, and you had an expensive bottle of wine. You came and sat down and you said, "Let me give you something else." That there's a gift on your life.
Amen.
To give something else.
Amen.
That there are people that are living their lives and experiencing a lifestyle that is below what they were created to. And there's a gift on your life to say, "Here, I got something else for you. Let's try something else." And I saw the Lord releasing a something else anointing and gifting over this house. And in addition to that, my wife Micah is a powerful minister in her own right. She sent over a prophetic word this morning. And it says, "Wellspring Fellowship." This is first person from the Lord. "Wellspring Fellowship. I see a feather resting on your place. Your sensitivity to the presence of the Lord is so high that you know when to honor what he is doing, even if it's barely discernible in the natural. You truly know him. Just like the fable of the princess and the pea, you recognize any area of discomfort and deal with it so that you can rest deeply in the presence of the Lord. But I say, it is time to awake. The rest has energized you and refueled you so that you are going to have stamina in what the Lord is doing. You are going to run the race and finish well. The Lord has called you to walk and run, and the walking and in the running is where your energy will be sustained. It is where you will find grace running through your veins. You are a lighthouse, a beacon in the dark, calling those who have lost sight of the shore to come home. This is not only for individuals, but family, individuals and families, but for other churches as well. Your demonstration of living in the light will call them into the light and restore the calling of the Lord for them. You are able to discern the military rankings of these churches in the army of the Lord and empower them to take their rightful place in the stand against the enemy and the advancement of the kingdom of God. Because you have done this in quietness and humility, the Lord will let your voice be heard and increase your visibility so that many will be drawn to him. I hear, quote, the bond of peace, and am reminded of Ephesians 4:1-3. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called, and in with all humility and gentleness and patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. I believe that this is how you are teaching the bride of Christ and honoring the heart of the Lord for his bride. May you receive wisdom and understanding to truly bless and empower his bride. Amen. This looks like this was used by the last speaker. Can I get whoever the last speaker was, that you? Here's your water.
Oh, okay.
There you go. There you go. They're getting one.
Cutting costs.
We have a communal cup of water. All right. Sounds good. So, really excited about what the Lord has on his heart for this place and the history and the life that's here. And thankful for this couple. They're something else. They really are. You guys are blessed.
Yes.
You really are. The part of I'm going to get in this a little bit today. Maybe I'll come back to this. But part of God's demonstration of love for this region is by sending this couple. That God loves this region so much, he sent them here.
Yes. So yes, I can witness to that. They're amazing people.
They are amazing. We're really thankful for them laying their lives down for the gospel.
Amen.
And they do so much more behind the scenes and carry so much more and walk through. I mean, you think about the dynamics of being assigned by God to carry the most important message on the planet and to walk with people as God transforms them. And I don't know about you, but I've got stuff. Like, there's things I've walked through and things that, you know, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, maybe you don't have any issues, but maybe the person next to you does. So the when you put the dynamics of carrying the most important message on the planet into somebody's life, in addition to walking with people through their stuff, just imagine what they go through, and yet they carry themselves with such grace and such a humility and love for you and for this region and a hunger for the presence of God and walk in a high quality. I really feel the Lord just wants you to know he's so proud of you.
Yeah.
And you are. He's like, these guys are something else. And he's not making fun of you. He's saying, these guys are something else.
Amen.
Would you guys take a moment and thank God for your pastor? Stand to your feet and thank God for your pastor. Put your hands together. Come on. Yeah, let's do that. You can embarrass them. Clap. Embarrass them. Good. That's good. That's so good. We're so thankful for you. Thank you for laying your lives down for the gospel.
Amen.
There's so much more fruit than there's a ripple effect of what God has done through your lives that touch many nations and different states and people's lives. And even like the word my wife said, touch different churches as well. And I feel that God is calling you into a position of influence and being a father and mother to leaders and pastors of different locations and places. And so we just celebrate the wisdom and the heart that you carry as they're thinking, can you get on with a message, please? So thankful for you guys. That's so good. My wife and I have been married for 15 years. We have two daughters, and one of them's with me here today. The other one is four, and they're brilliant. I love my family. And we are in the process of moving, so they're actually packing today and doing some other people coming over and help throw some things in boxes. And so we jumped in the car and drove for about 6 hours yesterday, got here, and refreshed overnight here, and then after lunch we'll drive back and pack boxes. And so our exciting life. I just got back from New Zealand a few days before that, and so I'm a little bit on that time zone where it's been difficult to get up. Right now they're 14 hours ahead. And so if I say anything that doesn't make sense, it's because I'm in a different time zone. And so we're excited. The 3-week school that Pastor John brought up, that's about to begin here in another couple of weeks. And so we're excited about that. Or is it, maybe it's next week now. Yeah, it's next week. It's starting June 3rd. June 3rd is the first day. So it's coming up fast. Yeah, it's next week. And so we have 124 people accepted into it right now. We'll see. We might have some more. I was working on stuff here and over the weekend. A lot of people coming from all over the world to go to it. It's a blast. 3-week school is an absolute blast to be a part of. And so that's kind of my day job, is that Global Awakening. And my other real calling and passion is our itinerant ministry. It's called Life Ministries International. And I've been traveling and preaching since I was 16 years old. And we have some things that we care. If you want to get connected with us, I'll get into the message here real soon. I tell people that pastors are more long-winded than evangelists are. And they just turn things into a series. And so you're here Sunday, you got to introduce yourself, minister to people, you know, tell about what you carry, where you're going, connect with people, and bring the word all in one service. And so anyway, I'm going to get through as fast as I can, but I'm here for one service. There's more about us than I have time to get into here. It's just, you know, the nature of the time frame. And so we have a couple of things in the back you can check out. One is a CD from my wife. This is an all original music that she wrote here, and it's really based in the scripture, and it's really, really good, getting you highly connected to the Lord. And so who here just recently had a birthday? Let me see. Just recently had a birthday.
Don't be shy. Coming up.
You have a birthday? That's good. I have one.
Had a birthday.
I have one on Tuesday. What's your? You just had one?
I had one a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. This is yours then. Yay. Happy birthday. Got some more of those on the back, and I'm told this year, I could be wrong, but you can check your calendar, I'm told this year Christmas is on 25th of December, and so you guys can check that out. If you want to get CDs ahead of time, then you could be like done with some of your Christmas shopping right off the bat there. So they're back there on the table. Brought some of those with me. Also, I brought a book. It's called The Basics in 21 Days. This is a 21-day kind of devotional to help people get more connected with God. I wrote it because I was on staff at a church as an outreach and discipleship pastor, and so in the process of helping people that were giving their lives to Jesus, I didn't really like the material I was coming across, so I ended up writing my own. So I thought, why couldn't we tell somebody who just gave their life to Jesus that this is about a relationship and you can hear from God for yourself? And so that's why day number one is on hearing the voice of God. And the whole way through it, it takes you through exercises that helps to get connected. If you're not familiar with church at all, then you'll find in the back there are different helps that take people a little farther on in the material, as well as an area that's called Christian lingo. And this is, you know, we have our own little subculture, right? We're weird. Okay. Sometimes people have been Christians for so long they forgot what it's like to not be Christians.
Right.
And so we get oversaved.
that I'm saved.
That's good.
You know, you met an oversaved person when they can't say anything without a Bible verse or bless you, or that it's always some Christian phrase. They can pray for somebody, but they can't carry on a normal conversation to save their life. That's somebody who's oversaved. They need to find some people that aren't Christians and build a relationship and learn how to interact with people. Because our intentions are good. We want people to come in. We want to reach people and those kind of things. But sometimes we get in our own way, actually. It's kind of like if you were to go to a foreign country and you enter into that place, into an environment that was beautiful, lush, and all kind of incredible things there compared to where you came from, where maybe it wasn't as nice. You enter in this environment, but when you get there, you find out that everyone speaks a different language. They have their own culture. They have their own customs. And no one's trying to help you understand how to get connected with all the lush provision that's in the new country you come into. Then most likely you're going to say, I don't know how to function here. I don't know what to do. And so I'm going to go back to this other place. It's not as nice, but at least I know how the rules work. At least I know what's expected of me, and I know what how I'm supposed to act and what's supposed to happen. And the truth is, we have the answer. We have the best thing. We have the lush experience of whatever is possible in the kingdom. There's so much incredible things. And we want to see people come in, but some of the way that we conduct ourselves as a church is like they're coming into a foreign land with people that speak a foreign language and have their own subculture, customs, and ideas. And so they don't feel like, I know how to connect with this. I'm going to go back to where I'm from because I love Jesus, but I don't know how to connect with what's going on. And so it's really important to understand Christian lingo. It's important to understand how to communicate and interact with people so that our good intentions don't remain intentions only, but we actually see people that are able to go farther in God. And that takes work. It really does. It takes being very intentional in learning things and being in people's lives. And so that's one of my passions. One of my deepest passions is to rob help. And in fact, the book I'm working on now, I was working on it last night, it's entitled Rob Hell. It's a comprehensive guide on evangelism. And the next book after I send that, I'm about 99% done with the first draft of that. When I'm done with that one, my next book is Activating Introverts. And if you're an introvert, then you're one of me. I'm one of you. You know you're not an introvert because you talk because you're awake. An introvert talks on purpose. An extrovert talks because they're awake. And a lot of our training on evangelism is done by extroverts. Kind of looks like a salesman kind of thing. And then so the introvert goes, well, that's just not my gifting, and they close down. But my heart for these people is to know that, because here's the thing, is that if people feel like they have to become somebody else to do something, then it violates their conscience. They feel like they're being fake. And saying, if I'm actually have to lie to who I'm actually wired as to win somebody for Christ, that's a violation of my conscience in the first place. And so they don't engage in that. And so what I'm trying to help people do is say, you can be yourself, honor the way that you're wired, and still rob hell. I want to see people activated all over the world and get this group of people, because I'm one of them. And by the mercy and grace of God, I've led several thousand people to the Lord, and he've equipped and trained hundreds of people from all over the planet. And so that's the second book I'm working on right after Rob Hell. And I'm just excited to see some of those things. As a matter of fact, next week, if I come to mind and pray for me, I'm doing a little video snippet, because Global Awakening has a YouTube channel, and they asked me if I would do 5 videos on activating introverts that are going to be like 8-minute clips to help give some quick ideas. So you can look up the Global Awakening YouTube channel. I don't know how long it takes them to edit it, but I'll be filming it next week. And also, we are in the process of raising funds for me to go to, is this filmed? I can't say it in public. An undisclosed location for an unreached people group kind of area that could do a 100,000 member event. And so really excited about it. I'd be happy to talk to you in person about it. The only thing that we have to raise is about $40,000. We have a match program where someone else is going to match with $35,000. And you think about $0.40 per person for people to hear the gospel for the first time. Wow. Pretty excited about that. So that's November this year. November of this year. So if you want to jump in on Robbie and Helen, partner with me on that. The Lord spoke to me and called me in the ministry when I was a child. I'll talk about that in a minute. But my heart vision, when I was growing up, I had visions of me preaching in international healing crusades all over the world. So I'm really excited. This isn't a nice idea. It's not like, ooh, that would be exciting. The truth is, it's a lot of work and there's sacrifice.
Yes, it is.
And there's a lot of things that go into this kind of stuff. And so I'm not doing it because I think it would be exciting. I'm doing it because the Lord called me to it when I was 5 years old.
Yes.
And so if you want to, if God stirs your heart and you want to partner with that, that's the kind of stuff you want to connect with us that we're doing. And so we have a website, releasinglife.org, releasinglife.org. And I have an 8-week evangelism training that's an evangelism intensive you can do right at your own home that will train you in evangelism. And my wife is about to release a course on inner healing that will be an online course from our website also. There you go.
All right.
You guys survived the commercial break, but these things, we just want you to know that we carry more than we have time to be able to share here. So please check out that stuff because there's more on there. Just would love to get to know you more along the way with that. All right. Cool. Good. I stated earlier that one of my number one passions is to rob hell. That hell wasn't made for people.
That's fine.
And I love to equip people. In this particular environment, there's one thing I want to touch on specifically. It's on my heart, but along the way, I do quite a bit of training on evangelism because that's my heart. There's nothing in the world like leading somebody to Jesus, to lead somebody to the life that they were made for. And as I looked into evangelism throughout the years, I got a degree in evangelism from a Bible college, and I did all kind of various trainings on it. I know, the four spiritual laws, and I know how to prove to people they deserve to go to hell. I mean, ask them if they've ever sinned before. I know how to talk of the different approaches to evangelism with, if you were to die today, do you know if you go to heaven, and all those kind of things. I've gone door to door. I've made up things where I went to different meetings and festivals and carnivals and chased people down in wheelchairs, and I've cast demons out, so to speak, in buildings, like standing up in restaurants. Like I had a lot of zeal and passion with not a lot of wisdom in some of those cases. But I had a desire, just wanted to see people know Jesus. And as I looked into those things, there's some, if you think about the game like Connect the Dots, there's some of these things that in the connecting the dots of bringing people to Jesus, I have found were missing on accident. And I want to kind of go into one here. It's going to seem a little, when you think about getting trained and getting encouraged to reach people for Jesus, this might sound like a little bit of a strange one. But if we don't start here, then we're going to mess up the rest of it. Here's the thing is, We are invited to be a witness for Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, right? Jesus said, you will be my witnesses, right? Everybody say witness.
Witness.
You will be my witness. Now, let's take a step back because we can look so close at what it means to be a witness that we're focused on something that's true. But I want to just take a step back and look at the broader picture of this because we need to understand what we're being a witness of, and maybe more importantly, who we're being a witness of. Is sometimes when we think about being a witness, we think about praying with somebody to receive Jesus. But let's take a step back. We are a witness of Jesus, and who is he? Okay, follow me just for a second, because I'm going to get into the message here, but this is important for us to get. Jesus said, when you see me, you've seen the Father. Father, Son, Holy Spirit together. God is one, right? You guys know that. Then The Bible says that God is love. Everybody say love.
Love.
Say, so God is love. Jesus is the image of the Father. Jesus is that physical demonstration of love. Right? And so, and when you take a step back and look holistically at it, you see that we are a witness of love. All right. Now, when it comes to evangelism, I have found many people do evangelism out of responsibility. We're supposed to witness to people. It's the Christian responsibility, it's Christian duty to witness to people. It's one of the, and some people would call it like a Christian discipline to witness to people. That's like a marriage discipline to go on a date.
Got it. Preach it.
Like, really? It sounds like it's torture. Okay? And it's this discipline to do. And some people believe that their interaction with people is already determined by God. And so they take even a step further back from interacting with people because they think it doesn't matter what they do or how they say it. God's determined if they're going to get saved or not anyway.
That's right.
Okay, so here's I want to take a step back and look. We recognize that we are a witness of love. Then we need to know people don't just hear what you say. They catch what you carry.
Amen.
And if we're a witness of love, then for them to accurately get what we're carrying and the message that we're supposed to give, then we need to carry love.
Amen.
I know this is deep. But here's the thing. I would be surprised if any of you would buy something from somebody else that they themselves had no experience with. What if somebody said to you, hey, I just got this new job, I'm selling something. Well, what do you think about it? I don't know. No, thank you. But if somebody came and said, I used this, it worked in my life. This is a crude example because we're not selling Jesus, but you get the idea that if we are representing love, the first starting place to the most effective evangelism is to fall in love.
Amen.
The most effective place of where evangelism starts is to know that you're loved.
Amen.
It reminds me of a verse that I came across, just meditating on this, and I want to see if we can find it here. Go in your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. All right. John chapter 1 is a very good chapter, but it's not there. Go to John chapter 2. Okay. You guys there?
Yeah.
John chapter 2. John chapter 2 is a fantastic chapter.
Yes, it is.
But it's not there. Oh, there it is. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Been meditating on this scripture. I don't know if maybe you've heard it somewhere along the way, but this is a really important for us to get. If we're going to bring a representation of the love of God to others, and actually the starting place is for us to be a good receiver of the love of God.
Amen.
So they catch what we carry, so that the good news gets to a place where it reaches our faces.
Amen.
There's so many Christians that if our understanding of God is that he's a punisher, he's the great one ready to bring down the gavel in our lives, then we're going to interact with other people that way. And how can we represent love when we look like we're sucking on lemons?
Right.
Or we're constipated, one of the two. Like, come and be like me. Jesus loves you. Well, how do you know? Have you tried it? No, I don't know if he really, I know in theory, because the Bible says so, but I don't know if he, how do I know that God really loves me? So glad that you asked, because that's what we're going to prove today, is how you know that God loves you. Because you get this settled in your life, then everything else comes out of it. You get how you know that you're loved, how you know you're valued, from a place of truth that doesn't go up or down, change from this way or that way. Then you can live a life of love. You can live a life where you become love, because that's our invitation. Our invitation is to represent love. It was love that hung Jesus on the cross, right? Yeah. The Bible does not say God was so angry at the world that he sent Jesus to the world. Jesus is not the demonstration of how far we have fallen. Jesus is a demonstration of God not wanting to live without us.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
Good word.
So here's the thing, that we can know that we are loved. Everybody say, I'm loved. You can know that you're loved by God, and it can be proven here in the Bible. The Bible tells us, matter of fact, maybe you heard this song before. God. Oh, that's a nice little ringtone you got there. It's good. Maybe you heard this song before. Jesus loves the little children. Maybe you heard that somewhere. Oh, maybe it was today you heard that.
Yeah.
God, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. That song. Not Jesus loves children. He does them too. But Jesus loves me. This I know. How do we know? For the Bible tells me. So here's the thing. How does the Bible say that God loves us? How does the Bible outline and prove that God loves us? John 3:16. For God so loved the world, they sent his only begotten Son. The proof that we are loved and we're valuable is because Jesus came. Everybody say Jesus.
Jesus.
It's because Jesus came. We can know that we're loved because Jesus came. Right?
Amen.
Okay, let me say it this way. When I was 5 years old, the Lord spoke to me in an audible voice and called me to preach. That's pretty awesome. And it wasn't my fault. I wasn't cuter than one of you guys. It was just something that he did.
Yeah.
And that is a beautiful thing. But it's not proof that God loves me. There's only one proof that God loves me. It's that Jesus came. Okay. When I was born, the doctors said I wouldn't live to be 5 years old. Had an incurable blood disease, was almost completely deaf. Someone prayed for me, and I was instantly healed. Went back in to the doctor, and they said, "There's nothing wrong with your kid."
Yay.
That's amazing.
Yes, yes.
But that's not proof that God loves me.
That's good.
There's only one way that we can know that God loves us. It's that Jesus came.
Amen.
Okay, we've got to get this thing straight. We've got to get it straight. Because sometimes we put things on God. It's almost like God's love is on trial. When we get a good parking spot, something goes our way, our prayers are answered, we get the promotion, whatever the case may be, then it's like, God, you see me, you love me. But then if we leave from the great parking spot and get a flat tire going to our next thing, God, where'd you go?
Right.
Don't you see me? No, you love me. What happened? Amen. It's almost like God's love is on trial, constantly having to prove, you see me, you love me, I'm valuable before you. And the issue with that is God never said, these are the ways you can know that I love you.
Amen.
You see, some of us, I like to say this to ministry school students, God didn't call you into ministry so you feel better about yourself. So I was called a minister when I was 5, but he didn't do that so I felt better about me.
Right. Word.
The truth is we're called into ministry for other people's benefit.
That's right.
The Bible says that Joseph in the Old Testament, he went through all of these things. He had these dreams where God said, you know, he showed him that his family was going to bow down before him, and then his family got mad and threw him in a pit. You guys may be familiar with the story. And so then he ends up in the position where that actually does happen. He's second command in Egypt. They're bowing before him. And then all of a sudden, when they figure out who he is and their father dies, the brothers get all scared and afraid because of how they treated him. And his response to them was, "You intended this for evil, but God intended it for good, for the salvation of my family." In other words, he recognized at that moment, he was saying to them something he recognized, and it was that everything he went through was for their benefit. They got jealous because they thought his dreams were about him, but really his dreams were about them. Everything Joseph went through was for the salvation of his family, not so he felt better about himself.
Amen.
And I would suggest to you, Ephesians says that God gives gifts unto people, the apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers, you know, the fivefold ministry, that we're actually called into ministry for other people's benefit.
Amen.
Whatever callings are, see, we find our identity, our value in the gifts that we have. I have this gift of the Spirit. I have this ability. I have this that I do for the Lord. Whatever the case may be. We offer these things, and we, when we find our value in what we can do for God, our skill set, our calling, our giftings, or whatever, then we've actually made those things into idols. We made those more important, and now we bow down and worship to our giftings instead of Him.
Amen.
That's good.
Because the one who tells you your value is who your God is.
Amen.
And sometimes we turn healing into it. This is a proof that God loves me if a healing takes place or not.
Right.